seen a meeting up across the way. So, do you...
Citizen English?
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas?
Here.
Councilmember Story?
Here.
Thank you. So, the second item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda.
I'm going to do it.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And third item, approval of the minutes from April 19, 2012. Did everyone have a chance to look at the minutes from April 19? Yeah. Any changes or amendments or modifications? No? So a motion to approve the minutes.
So
I'll second. Oh. Sam seconds that. So Dick and Sam. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And oral communications. Does anyone here have any sort of updates since the last meeting? No one from the public. We'll move right on to staff reports.
Okay. The financial reports. The reports are at 83% of the year, and we're doing quite well. The only line that's egregious is our telecommunications, and that's because we're still waiting on the E-rate to come in. So my guess is we'll start getting it. It'll help next year's budget and just absorb it this year. We did this for 3 years at one point, so.
Does this have to be applied for it each year?
Yes, we apply for it each year, and we got approved for it in January, and so the reimbursement should have been retroactive to July. And as of even a month ago, that they were still demanding forms. So we went once 3 years where they didn't pay us, and they paid us all back. So we will get it. Other than that, there's some areas that we'll be doing last minute spending on. Of course, this is April, so this still doesn't have May in it. Any questions on it?
The question I had is that we're 69% of spend, and we're 83% or something like that of the year. Is that roughly?
And part of the big one on that is the facilities master plan, the $100,000 that's not expended that we're going to carry. So,
okay.
I mean, that's a big chunk there.
So when you take that into account?
Yeah, and there's some other areas, particularly in building maintenance and some of the capital stuff that we approved in February that we're just getting going on now. So there's some big things that are still out there. Book budget still. It's only 75%, so 74%, so it still has. They've been doing big push there, buying stuff. So there's some big. The big lines are. There's still some big numbers to come, but we probably will be under expended.
Are we still ahead 2 months on our payments, our sales tax payments?
Yes, it runs pretty much a quarter behind. So, we get, this is April, so this is actually this would reflect sales tax through through February. Got my timing right. Yeah, it runs about a quarter behind. So this Christmas season is in now, but it takes a few months. We would now have Christmas probably just in.
But we're at 90% of budgeted sales tax revenues?
Yes, because it's the money we get it every month. But it reflects the sales tax earned 3 months before.
Uh-huh.
But we get it every month. So, at the end of the year, it represents sales tax collected through March, but going back.
So the fiscal year.
It doesn't coincide with the fiscal year.
So there's one more month that's going to be included in that fiscal year, and then the rest carries over to the next. Is that correct?
Sort of, because it'll start. The money we earn in 12-13 is actually sales tax earned in 11-12.
Right. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
So it just keeps rolling.
But what you have reflected here reflects payments for April and May, the months of April and May receipts.
April receipts. I don't think May receipts are in that. May receipts are not in this. This goes through April 30th. So May, and we still have May and June receipts to get. And I did just get, I don't think, yes, I did bring it. We just got what the May receipts are. I just got it a couple of days ago. May receipts were $913,000. So.
Those are the finance authority numbers?
County census.
But just for our system?
Yes, for us, yeah. It was $806,500 in April, $925,000 in March, $990,000 in February.
That we don't get revenues for a couple of months back. I mean that we're constantly running that way. So
yes, right.
So it's not like we catch up. We never catch up. We just start off with monies from last year and
right.
Money carries over into next year.
Yeah, but in terms of the percentage though, that 93% of those reportable tax revenue for that fiscal year, that's where we are as of that.
Well, it would include the total amount we're expecting.
Yeah.
It would include even the stuff that came in that was from the last fiscal year. It's what we receive. It's based on receipts.
Well, I was just noting that through April we're at 90% already.
Yes,
yeah,
because
we
knew sales tax was up.
Yeah.
We know property tax is right here, it's right on at 83%. We were told to expect property tax to be a little bit low, sales tax to be high with a net.
Okay, so that number represents a percentage of the estimate rather than a percentage of
yes.
actual months that come in. Okay, so that explains it. So we could exceed the actual revenue
yes.
for the year.
Yes.
Because of the percentage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
We estimated we would get...
Yeah, that's great.
We estimated we would get $5.5 million. We're probably going to get $5.7 million.
That's a good, that's
so I expect this to be over 100%.
Yeah, that's great.
What I'm surprised at is property tax is not lower, but property tax loss isn't that huge, so percentage-wise, it's not going to have a big effect. So yeah, we're doing really well. Yeah, this is good news.
I think it's good that the revenue is higher than planned. That the spend is under planned now suggests that we're doing less than we had intended to do.
The other place that we're really under is in personnel,
yeah.
And that's because of the restructuring, because
yeah.
the budget was based on not restructuring.
Right.
So that also really skews it.
Right. But the materials budget is under, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, they'll get there.
In the IT, how about in the IT area? Because that's the other area that's just
we're,
a problem.
We're there.
You're at budget.
We're spending everything we possibly can.
Should we spend more than what we budgeted in the IT area to try to get over?
We don't have the staff resources to do it. We don't have.
Choose IO or have Mark and his buddies. You know,
We've tried everything. We cannot.
Can't spend more.
We can't spend more, no. I've said, what do you need? Tell me who we can, and they can't. They just can't do it. There's just limits, and this is one of those, and this is,
We are going to be doing some outreach to identify some potential projects, though.
Right. Things are, the network upgrade is pretty much done. I think they have one more thing they need to work out, and that changing that infrastructure is huge. And so they're starting to be able to work on some other projects. We did have the money that we budgeted this year in the tech fund for $75,000 for computers and things like that. We did not spend it. They just couldn't do it. With the ILS, the ILS change, the upgrade of computer systems and the network upgrade, and losing our IT manager, we just have done what we can. So that money we're going to carry to next year and replace every computer. And with a different philosophy than we have before. Our current philosophy is we build our own, and that takes a lot of time. We are going to move to buying it basically more shelf-ready.
Are there any other questions regarding the monthly financial reports? Do you want to move on to the PERS update?
Oh, I'm glad Mark's here for that, because I don't understand this letter.
So easy. Makes it confusing. You being sarcastic.
Yes, these three pages, go for it.
PERS is basically saying in 2013, our rates are going up. We do that. PERS is saying they're giving us final wording, which is good, about how they'll go up. They're saying the first year, instead of a 50-50 split, I think I talked in terms of our first assumption. We knew they were going to try to approach over a spreading the increase over time period. It's generous to ratepayers, I mean to the member entities, and B, it's generous to CalPERS because they get to charge their 7.25% interest on anything that's not paid up front. So they're making some good interest earnings off of us. Us being library board, us being any member, CalPERS member of entities. That's useless babble. So what they've said, instead of a 50-50 split, they're going to charge us 1/3 of the increase. So we're talking in terms of about $120,000 ceiling. That's a very cobweb ceiling. You can easily post through. This isn't a hard ceiling. But that's kind of a ballpark when we're looking at staffing costs and projecting out what we think the rates could be. It gets in the area of $120,000 annually.
Just for the library staff?
For library staff. So you take a third of that, and you're near $40,000, $39,000 change. In that first year, our costs are going to go up 13, 14. So this is July 2013 through June 2014. We expect about a $40,000 cost increase. I'll put an asterisk there, because we won't know what that increased rate is going to be until this October or November. Typically, they tell us that by October, but in the last 2 years, they've taken an extra month to analyze the numbers. So somewhere around October to November, we'll know exactly how to calculate that, meaning what the increased rate will be. What they're saying right now, on average, expect between 1 and 2%. Again, that's average, which means somebody could be a 4 or 5, and somebody could be a 0.2 range. I tend to think we're going to be closer to 2 or 3, with not extreme average, extreme end, but will be more than the norm. So we're kind of factoring that in based on the history of our rates as they compare our rates in this demographic with this employee base, the life longevity, the age of our current employee sets, that all those demographics point to that we have higher costs than other entities who might be a younger on average employee base. Their bulk of their retirements are still 30 years out. Our bulk are 5-10 years out. So as you get closer to your bulk of your retirements, your contribution costs are going to be more demanding. So I think I gave a lot of warning to that, saying 2013 will be a third of what the total cost will be. The rest of that will be spread out over time, which is, I'm hoping for a way that we can pay that down sooner. It's kind of like a side debt service. Mm-hmm. And they're mandating that we spread that out over time. They're not, at this point in time, they're not giving us an option to pay that down, even if we could. Because, again, they like the back end of it, of charging a 7.25% interest rate on anything that's not paid, CalPERS. So that's very typical. Again, from a cash-strapped city, they say they don't think of it in terms of the interest rate. They just think of it in terms of, oh, I don't have to pay it up front, good deal. And that tends to speak to a lot of the focus of government in general, kind of being too short-term focused, not the long-term focus. So I'm again, extra wording that we have to worry about. I think this, I'll add one more thing that surprised me. Our governor surprised me in that he spoke to that. He said, I want the ability to pay off sooner. And so in the legislation, the state carved out the ability for the state to pay it off sooner, but nobody else. So,
are we sorry?
No. And historically, they haven't given you an option to pay off earlier.
that looks and feels like if you pay down your mortgage sooner. That's what we like. They do give you prepay options, but that's a whole nother 2-hour session about how you get your paybacks in that fashion. But it's not necessarily what you would expect.
Any
so
questions?
Do we reserve for that second part of the payment, the other $80,000 that we aren't going to pay next year? Do we in some way set it aside because we know that's going to be a cost? Is there any point in doing
that? Yeah, and that'll be spread out. So our cash costs will probably be in the order of magnitude of $15,000 new for that second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year. They're going to spread that over time. So it, from a cash flow, again, that's why most government entities say cash flow good. I can manage that. They're not looking at the interest rate that they're being assessed. I do think it speaks to kind of like Teresa's budget message about more than most years, and maybe last year and this year aren't your typical years for this board. But certainly as we get to November, December, we start getting this data in, it speaks to having a reset on the finance level about funding policies and reserve policies. Not only is this CalPERS an issue, but the statewide RDA question about how is property tax distributed, that's going to be an issue that will be litigated. There's already some court filings going forward that will be litigated, and there'll be a decision somewhere. And whether or not that will be a binding decision or jurisdiction only, it'll eventually get to a state-level decision. So we need to start thinking in terms of this extra $600,000 ballpark that the county is going to continue to receive that matches their inflow to us. We want to start thinking in terms of what happens if that we lose that retroactively and we have to give up $600,000 every year for 3 years, because it'll probably be 2 or 3 years before the judicial system spits out the final decision.
Plus we'd have to do without the money thereafter.
Yeah, so we have $1.8 million debt to local jurisdictions, fire districts, Cabrillo schools, cities, plus you have to make an immediate cut. So we want to start talking in terms of how do we get the board to appreciate, not that this is great new money, but if we have surplus, we need to budget a surplus. We need to build into our budget a reserve line item that's almost an expense line item. Just forget about it for 3 years, just in case. So I think we need to have that discussion about how we do it and what type of, is it at an 80% confidence level, a 50% confidence level, so you need 80% of 600,000 or 100% of 600,000. So there's some ways of approaching it, I think. As we see, as these court cases are filed, that we start having
that. We need to earmark that 600,000, that's the payment we make to CalPERS. So if they want to deal with that, they have to themselves.
And again, in the bigger picture, without the county, that's a cut to county revenue source. That's not a library revenue source. And so what the county's first reaction is going to be, we lost a revenue source, we're going to take it from the library. But if that were a recessionary decline of a revenue source, they'd take it from all the pots, not just the library. So that's a discussion that I think is worth having.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's the relationship between the maintenance of effort and this RDA decision? Is the maintenance of effort tied to the RDA?
I think that's going to be for our attorneys to decide if it gets there. From my read, it's points in the general area, meaning there's the ocean. It doesn't tell you where the fish are at, but the ocean's that way. So the JBA agreement says it's dictated on property tax receipts by the county that are for library purposes. So in defining that, I'm sure the county's already worked through their decision process of how do we recraft that in 2011 to focus only on the RDA portion. I'm sure they've already gone through that.
The LFA agreement specifically states that Capitola, Scotts Valley, and the county, their maintenance of effort will come from secured property taxes, unsecured property taxes, all these other arcane things, RDA pass-throughs. And it says they will maintain a level of contribution basically equal to what it was in 96 when it all passed, and they give the dollar amount that was. So So I suppose, you know, technically, if the RDA amount dropped the county's Capitola's and Scotts Valley's contribution below that supposedly kind of ballpark figure, then there'd be an argument that you still owe that. But it's not real specific, so it would be an interpretation of what's owed.
When do we normally meet with the Watsonville Library Board and also the county?
Next week.
They'll be at the meeting.
The finance authority.
Yeah, the finance. So is that something that, I mean, is it too late to put that just discussion point, maybe just as an intro, just to get some background on that position?
I don't do that agenda.
Could you email
person
her
who does?
And say we'd
yes.
like to have that on the agenda? Yeah, just to have them maybe present. And if anything, maybe we could reschedule it as a longer discussion.
The other little piece that goes in there is that I think it's in 2016 or 2017, the JPA agreement expires. I don't think the LFA agreement expires.
2016?
Maybe 2017. It was 2017. The JPA agreement doesn't talk about any of this. This is on the LFA agreement, on refinancing authority agreement, which is a totally different board, you know, and governing body. And I mean, I think your point's well taken of them discussing it. You're both on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get a hold of who does that agenda. I'll get a hold of over at the county.
Okay. Are there any other questions regarding the PERS update? Actually, I'm surprised that, you know, it's lower than we anticipated. I mean, we were talking about a higher number.
I don't think the total gross estimate has changed. What I think changed is they were talking about a 50-50 split. You pay 50% of your 120 in year one, 50% and then the remaining half in year two. That was the initial discussion.
Okay.
That got more generous. It went to, you pay one third the first year, and the remaining two thirds that you own is spread out over the next 19 years.
Okay.
So that's what changed. I think our gross number is still going to be about $120,000 annual increase, of which in that first year we're only paying $40,000.
Understand.
And the rest of that $80,000 spread over 19 years. But that second year, you're going to pay $120,000 plus your little amortization.
Plus the 15 that you owe. So the 120 is going to be every year.
Got it.
Yeah, this is an annual increase forever and ever. Amen.
Okay.
But that first year hit is being spread out over a 20-year cycle.
Wow, that's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, that's what I did not hear.
I kind of missed that.
I'm sorry.
I should have read more carefully, and I would have gotten that.
Well, when CalPERS increase the cost, they don't do that for one year. Just lock in.
Okay. That first year is just a...
It's a lost leader.
Yeah, what's the point?
So they can earn 7.25%.
Well, think about it statewide.
Statewide,
they're fine.
The only place they could earn
$1 billion statewide.
Do they earn 7? I mean, this is what they're estimating the return is, but they're not earning that on our money.
They're earning more.
Oh, because of the current CalPERS returns?
Yeah, I mean, they've been clicking in close to 10% average.
Yeah.
They've had a pretty good cycle for almost 2 years now.
Their rate of return on their investments is 10%.
Yeah, they've been clicking, maybe last 18 months, last 2 years.
They had, though, some real estates.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my money where theirs is.
They get paid for it, too.
Yeah.
They're state employees, aren't they, the capitalists, investors?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't uncommon to see 15, 16% off year to year, but they're hitting that new year. I don't know how government entity gets away with that. Their investment is pretty interesting. So another discussion, sorry.
Yeah. So the next item is item D for the fiscal year 12-13 proposed budget. And this, I think, we've covered. This is more of a recap.
Yes. It's you've kind of got my budget message here, and then the you've got the... you know what I don't think got included here is the actual positions. Page 26 needs to come out, but there's also a budget resolution that I forgot to include in the finance packet, which actually has all the positions specifically laid out. I do want to, and I haven't had a chance to tell you this, but But we just got the final personnel numbers, and they are about $16,000 higher. So the question is whether we change. Well, we'll change it in our in this. I don't know if we'll change it here or not. We also there may be some other small areas numbers that might change a little bit. Anything about the budget? Are there questions? Was this laid out clearly enough? Or?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, the one question I had was actually on the, yeah, the page 31.
Yeah.
Looking at the actual.
Ooh, excuse me, it's the
whole. Oh, is that it?
This is Teresa?
Yeah.
Yes. No, that's fine.
I could speak to the on page on page 30 of that. Cause,
page 30?
Yeah, page 30 for.
Okay.
There's a table in there.
Great.
And I wanted to call out attention to the library authority.
No,
and correct me if I'm missing something.
Would it be possible
still
need a little
reading sometime then. Anyway. But we're engaging on an IT study and a facilities master plan study. And what you see in there
no,
is a placeholder
the address is
in next
there.
Year's column of 207,000. 200,000 flat. A master
yeah.
plan project placeholder. We, Teresa, are not seeking budget authority for $200,000. What we're just saying is, as we're looking at cash flow and transactions, if we're going to engage in these studies, we need to factor in what if the board decides to move forward in
yeah.
these studies.
Oh, I
so
thought I had something else in there, but I couldn't remember what else
was in
the
could be $272,000, it could be
$120,000.
But conceptually, we just put $200,000 in just from like,
and if you need to charge
so you see the so you can get see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because if these studies point out some things that require immediate funding,
it's probably
that
my
may be something
saying,
the
Gary.
Board does. So we wanted to think along those terms. So again, we're not seeking budget authority.
Yes.
But I just want to make sure you understood that.
Yep.
That
yes, go
if
ahead,
you have any
fine.
Feedback now on how we explain that to the better board, bigger board in a different way. That's a
no,
little bit
you don't
abnormal.
Have to do it overnight. As long as I know it's safe.
Typically,
you, know, okay.
you would kind of go into the budget knowing what your capital needs are, but we're engaging in the study as part of the budget process. We don't know what those needs are.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Since you show a fund balance of $738,000.
Yeah, I mean, the capacity
I assume that includes
okay.
this.
And if there's any problem, like, you know,
contingency
something like a credit card or whatever.
Yes.
So
no, not because it's not part of the adopted budget. We don't have it in here.
That would be good.
The board has authorized Teresa to engage in $200,000 of spending.
Okay.
What we're saying is.
Okay, thank you very
we
much.
Don't want the board to authorize it because you don't give blank check authority. Here's $200,000, do what you want.
It was there.
Good, you got it.
Yeah, they're shipping it to me.
So I'm sorry. I took the opportunity of a side conversation about explaining the $200,000 placeholder. And that it's not reflected as a budgeted authority line item where you're getting a $200,000 blank check and go have fun.
Obviously, I'm not been given any checks because I can't.
But rather, we're showing it from a cash flow perspective of this is something the board may need to consider for 13 if there could be. And so what this is showing is that you clearly have capacity. You're going to make $738,000. If you deduct $200,000 for facilities, you still have almost $500,000 of net profit next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure we had that conversation. Again, that's a big
yeah.
aspect on that net profit because that's really contingent on the county getting the RDA backfill
yeah.
that they're counting on filling this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what have you seen in the past? I mean, can we say provisionally? I mean, that's incorporated into the budget to be revisited at a later date?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
yeah.
Just like a provisional
yeah.
line item?
Yeah. I suppose it could be.
It's actually not in. It's not in this, it's not in page 31. It's not reflected in the
right,
actual
yeah.
budget that you're approving. So, I believe the intent is if we do find we want to go there, it would be a separate resolution later in the year.
But could it be approved provisionally, then required, just so it's in the budget, and then comes back, you know, to the full board
before being spent?
Before it's spent, or before any allocation is made.
I think this one, spreadsheet, you could add a line at the bottom. This is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if I understand what you're saying, is it's kind of a what if we decide to spend $200,000, this is what would happen to the fund balance as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I mean, what's the downside of not even putting it in at this point, given that we're not making any decisions about it?
I think it's a political downside of a PR thing and the precedent. So eventually everybody's going to say, oh, we expected $738,000 of profit. That's going to register in whether unions, press, advocates, proponents, whatever.
Okay.
And then if mid-year, mid-cycle, you authorize $200,000 or more spending,
mm-hmm.
and so you end up the year with only $500,000 gain, somebody's going to say, oh, what's going on? This doesn't make sense to me. Are they hiding something?
Yeah.
What'd they do with that $200,000?
Mm-hmm.
So that would just speak to, you know, the board factored in that as part of the budget process. So I guess, again, this is kind of a looking to your guidance, certainly because I don't know the board well enough. Is it worthy to present it this way? Should we actually just include in the budget a provisional line item? It's a good idea. So that's what it speaks to.
My thought was, I mean, I like the idea of a provisional budgeted line item.
Okay.
Because I don't think that necessarily says Teresa has a blank check, go and spend it. I mean, it's subject to.
There goes a line.
So, you know, one, the master plan, do we go ahead with that? And then what are the projects that are identified in that? We'd want those. And so, but we're just put in a placeholder, and it's actually in the budget. And I think that serves the both purposes that. It doesn't create kind of inflated expectations of what our fund balance is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Because then it's right there at the beginning. It's 500,000. It's not 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the ability. Now it may, and I think it's better to go from 500 and end up at 700.
Yes.
To go from 700 and end up at 500.
Yes.
Because, and then, and also having such a huge fund balance raises a lot of questions about what aren't we doing? Why aren't we at 100%? Why aren't I making more money, okay, in my job? So I just think it would be better to place it within this context instead of off to the side. And but identifying what it is and what it's for, okay? And which is, I mean, it's like facility master plan, and the note says IT master plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, both those plans are happening in the beginning of this new fiscal year, and so there may be things.
Teresa, are you thinking about how much in each one of those areas? 100, 100, or?
It really depends on what's recommended. We do have, because we have the 75 from this year and 100 from next year, we actually already have 175 for IT.
Mm-hmm.
So, depend, you know, could it be the website? You know, it really depends on what the recommendations are, and I don't want to try to.
Just one general line item that could sort out the allocations later.
Yeah, that goes to another point. I'm very interested in seeing the central branch repainted, because I feel like you walk around here and it just looks. So I don't know how we, like, look for a, you know, do you do mid-year budget adjustments, or do you just do some sort of, you know, do we have a discussion in the budget meetings where, like we do at our council, you present a memo saying, hey, this is something, you know, I'd like to see happen, and if I get enough support from other board members.
I'm hoping to have a quote on that real soon. Actually, one of our maintenance guys, his second job is he's a painter. And so he feels he can paint this building with using the I can never think of the politically correct term, the jail workers.
Release the word.
Whatever they are. He uses those folks quite a bit, and he feels he can actually get the paint, do the labor on the painting, so it's a matter of painting.
So it's not necessary to put that in the budget?
Not specifically, no. Yeah. I think we're going to be able to afford it.
Okay.
Anyway, but I can put in his master and IT strategic plan projects provisional,
Well, let me flip the other way then. You know, I'm saying, well, first, my first thought was, well, why bother to put it in there if we're not going to approve it? The other side is, why don't we just put it in there as a line item in the budget? Doesn't mean that we're going to spend it like we don't spend other monies without authorization. But why not make it part of the formal budget?
That wouldn't that require, I mean, I think for that one, board approval. And that's why I was thinking provisionally we put it in there.
Doesn't the board have to approve the whole budget?
You approve the budget of as a whole,
yeah.
And unless the expenditure is over, there's no real set dollar amount, but if it's usually over $15,000 for some sort of a contract, sometimes more, I have authority to just sign that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to you for every expenditure.
That's fine. There ought to be, I assume there's already levels for spending.
What I'm assuming is going to come out of both these plans is some recommendations and hopefully some prioritization, or the board will need to do prioritization from there. And then that, I mean, I'm not going to get the recommendations and go, oh, I've got $200,000, so here's what I'm going to do. I am going to come back to the board and say, you know, how do you want to prioritize these?
I support having it in our budget, but I'm not certain that the entire board feels that way. I mean, we had a discussion, I don't know if you were on the board at that time, at the Scotts Valley branch, where there was some dialogue about, you know, doing a full facilities plan or scaled back. But I mean, if this body here wants to put it in there formally, I support that. I also support it putting in there provisionally, and then when we do decide to allocate, we have a full vote at the board. So I'm open to any sort of suggestions you have.
Sure. Well, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to the board that they put these master plan potential expenditures in the budget. And you mark
it.
I'll
second that.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
we're still in discussion,
sorry. Of course. When you started talking about you'd rather add to the, you'd have a better year than we thought versus, you know, meaning the year less, you struck a chord in my goosebumps or whatever you want to call it, is going up. I'm starting to feel like I'm wishing that this $250,000 was a placeholder, because not knowing the state of our facilities, I can come up, if I start thinking of a public works guy, and I've seen a lot of public works projects, they can go through $200,000 real fast, and I don't know the status of all of our branches, and maybe $250,000 when you're looking at $738,000 net gain in 1 year, I think there's room to maybe take that up just a little bit more, be ultra conservative. If we're still talking along the line, there's a placeholder for the study to see what
why not make it three? I mean, if it's at two. No, I'm fine.
Do I hear four?
I think that's fine. I mean, because of the fund balance that you have there, and to earmark a significant amount of it toward IT improvements and toward facilities improvements, that is going to be, I think, very helpful to the board once they. Well, if they proceed with the master plan, at least knowing now we have some money set aside to actually do something,
yeah.
It's not just a study.
Yeah.
Okay? We can actually take these concrete recommendations and we can implement them. So put in whatever you feel, from my viewpoint, is going to be necessary in next year's budget to do to reasonably accomplish those ends. And I think 250 is fine.
I mean, you said it facetiously, but I mean, if we're talking about technology as well as facilities, and it is something that's a placeholder, I would say three, just to have in there. It's going to come back anyways to the board, but like was mentioned, if we are going to be setting the baseline, at least it carves out an amount of money that might be able to pursue some projects that we all would be interested in seeing happen as a board. So that would be my suggestion.
And that's fine. I think as long as we understand, it could this could be a potential fudge factor, okay?
Right.
And if, you know, I mean, so, I mean, as a, I think, responsible board member, I wouldn't want to spend it too quickly in the year.
Well,
and I'd probably want to watch and how some of these other issues play out. But we could know that, okay, if the worst happens with the RDA issue, even and quickly, we have another, we can backtrack on this particular side. If it doesn't, in this next year, we have the ability to do some, I think, some good public services projects.
That's the word I'm looking for. Realistically, we probably wouldn't even be able to begin to implement any of these projects much before January anyway, because by the time the facilities plan, I mean, we're opening the bids tomorrow, we're still not, you know, we're still a couple months away from getting it started. The IT strategic plan is just now released from the city. It's the middle of July before they're going to award that one. So by the time all's said and done, I mean, we're going to be well halfway through the year.
I think by consensus then, I don't know if you need a motion or a vote, but I hear
The motion will be at the
300.
I'm hearing 300,000. I'm going to put it down as master and IT strategic plan projects. Would you like me to have some verbiage in the budget memo that describes what was behind that?
Why don't you talk about what our discussion here?
Okay.
I mean, in terms of, so that's coming from, you know, that was our direction, some of the background we just provided in terms of why we felt it was important to allocate at that level.
Teresa, you mentioned when we got into this discussion that there was $175,000 in IT improvement money that's...
75 carried over from this year and 100 in next year's.
So is that in addition to this money that we're
talking
about?
That is part of the service model.
We had budgeted those things.
And those were actually, that was technology replacement money. That was to... knowing that each year we should be replacing X number of computers instead of waiting 10 years. And that was really technology replacement. It wasn't for things like a new website.
Yes.
Right. So it's part of the 207,000.
There's a chunk of that.
Yes.
75,000.
Yes.
But I thought there was $100,000 in the facilities.
Right. We're carrying over $100,000 from this year for the facilities plan, 75 for the... the technology, and the other balance is
miscellaneous stuff.
Some other stuff.
Okay.
We just found another.
So that's how that $207,000 number came about.
Oh, the Whalen Trust appropriation for Felton.
It might, you know, it might help to provide the key parts of that $207,000 as the part of the footnote that's on the table.
It's on page 3, is that?
Well, I'm looking at page 30. There's plenty of room there.
Actually, we upped it by 5,000.
That's administrative.
It's a minimum amount, so it's probably nothing that's bothering you.
If there's no other discussion on this, I neglected this one item.
On the budget? I did have one other. Under personnel, where it says 90%, I know that's the 90% hours.
This is going to get changed. I didn't get the numbers from HR until today, and so I didn't have a chance to change this. That 90% will actually go away. And the 699 plus 16,000, there's an additional 16,000, will get divided between regular, full, and part-time, temporary, and benefits.
Okay. Right, because some of that was the...
It was remediation.
Remediation.
Yeah, this was
right.
Really a shortcut.
Okay.
I thought we'd have it before this went to press, but we didn't. We got it today, and so you'll see that go away.
Okay.
And you'll see that number go up, like I said, by 16,000.
Yeah.
That's on page 31. There's subtotals under revenue and personnel, but then all the other categories are not subtotaled.
No.
And I would suggest that we do that just so that we can have a number for each of those. Does that make sense?
We can do that. This is our spreadsheet. So
Anything else regarding the budget?
One other thing, David, in the narrative, I noticed that then it talks about the issues about setting aside other kinds of reserves.
That's what Mark's talking about doing.
Schedule a mid-year discussion to formally create targeted reserves for emergency unforeseen catastrophic events, facilities, maintenance. I said those are long-term facilities maintenance and and economic uncertainties. So this is, well, I guess my question, I mean, viewing that we have such a significant balance and that we are far ahead of our schedule of establishing a rainy day reserve, we can accomplish that. I'm just wondering if we want to maybe do that sooner than waiting until mid-year. And, well,
I think if I would just give you the, I think we had a conversation earlier, maybe I pulled Teresa a little bit off of this thing, that I'm still getting a comfort level with the board and how the votes would play out as this discussion happened. It feels like this discussion happens right now in the context of everything we're talking about. Keep going in a lot of different directions, or just get past the budget, let that resonate for a few months, and then come back into the reserve discussion. And maybe it doesn't get mingled in with all these discussions. It's just, I'm just giving you, maybe I pulled Teresa away from that, so, or when we were talking about it.
That seems like a good strategy to address.
And it could be sooner than mid-year.
Yeah,
it could be
definitely.
Along those lines, you know, we had a discussion at a prior sub-finance committee meeting that dealt with the idea that we are, you know, well ahead of what the projections were, and whether or not we wanted to look at not a reserve strategy, that's one way to allocate, but maybe some other investment strategies to look at, you know, reinvesting in our system and services for the public. And so, I mean, I'd like that if we're going to have a discussion as far as the best use of these resources, it may in addition to discussing the reserves and setting aside, you know, what are some of the types of activities that we want to be focused on to make sure that we're maximizing the public benefit of our system. So, and I think that would also be one we'd want to hold off until then. Okay.
So one other issue. On page 31, the building O&M category. It looks like this year's projected spending on building O&M is 176 and change, and we're projecting 154 and change for next year. Is there a reason for going down next year on something that's that big an item?
I'd have to look at the detail behind it. I didn't bring the detailed spreadsheets with me. Some of that has to do with where things are budgeted. I think a piece of that is when the board authorized, there was $40,000 in this year's budget for capital maintenance, capital projects, and then you gave us some additional money in February. We thought we had a line just to put it in, but we couldn't. We had to move it into building O&M. And actually, some of that gets paid out of office furniture and equipment, building repairs. Actually, the $40,000 went into building repairs, but the additional money then got put other places, so it made it look higher than it really is. And then this year, we put it in different lines, so it's spread out more. Like you can see, our office furniture and equipment is up $27,000 because some of the money went in there. So it. I can look more specifically at what happened there, but I know that there's that one's. The other is vehicle O&M did go down because we had one less vehicle. But there's just other. Because I'd have to look specifically at the spreadsheets, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with where the money got moved around and what lines it got put in.
Well, if we put like painting a branch library, sounds like it would fall into the maintenance. instead of capital improvements?
Well...
And if it could...
We don't have a capital improvements. We actually, that may, probably goes under building repairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some of the places where, this, where the city, where finance makes us put stuff, is...
Going to be revisited,
but it's changed, and to be honest, we had an account clerk that did some very strange things, and we're discovering those on a daily basis. So I think the totals aren't going to be that far off, but I'll double check the building O&M line, because I've got the more detailed spreadsheets. I just didn't bring them.
It just seems like we're in a receptive climate right now to be able to spend some money for a change. And here's the time where we'll put it where we think we might need it, so we can use it.
Well, you did give, there is 50,000, whereas it was 40,000 last year, there is 50,000 this year in what we were calling capital maintenance kinds of projects.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that of those, building repairs, library is 35,000. I think 15,000 of it is in furniture and equipment. And this is showing the 40,000 that you originally budgeted, but then you gave additional money, and I think that went into building O&M. And so it was like an additional 26,000 or something. So I don't think the numbers are that far off. And we're still in a pretty conservative mode. We're trying to, you know, not be unreasonable in what we're asking for.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, I skipped over C, which is RDA impact discussion. But I mean, we've heard some background on that, and I know that the budget, the letters that have been sent out from not only the city, but also the county, there's the budget that's included. That'll be in the agenda packet for the board as well.
I haven't gotten it yet. The official. I've got the one back in May, but I haven't gotten the allocation letter yet.
Mm-hmm.
Have we gotten anything else? Got anything else from the county besides
that?
Just the letter.
Yes. No. They confirmed.
The May 22nd letter?
Yeah, the May 22nd is the only thing I've got. I haven't gotten anything.
So
first,
I'm,
I didn't get
I'm acting on it like a personal email. I'm ready to go off the kind of control saying we're done, this is it. So I haven't physically seen anything from Bonnie yet. So I'm not sure in what manner
it's
going to
be a letter from the mayor. So
I think we're referring to the formal statement from the county audit controller saying this is the method I offer. So
here's your money.
Come sue me.
Whatever
and,
I have
and I haven't seen my eyes on it, but I know what method she chose, and she chose.
Well, and that's, this letter pretty much says
yeah.
I'm using that method.
Yeah.
So whatever I've received, I'll put it in. If I have it by Thursday, I'll put it in.
Okay.
Yeah, we have an agenda on that for the board meeting.
Financial report, April financials, approval of 12-13 budget. No, I don't do one.
Well,
I know that there's lots of discussion as far as, you know, this is future revenue. What's your thought? It's going to open.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think Teresa and I have talked about it, and it's a rather divisive issue.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't, and I didn't want it. Unilaterally put it on the agenda to open up a can of worms, but so.
About correspondence.
I think it was going to put it off. Yeah, this would be correspondence.
I can put this in written communications.
Yeah, put it in that, and then we'll
I
see.
I didn't mean to be the chair in terms of setting the agenda. I was just assuming that it would be in there as correspondence.
Yeah, but I guess if anybody really wanted to have it an agenda item, or I was wondering how you guys felt about it.
I personally don't. Kind of already done me.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
well,
it's complicated, and it's an input to the planning. You can discuss it. What's the point? You're not going to change the input.
Right.
I know we have one board member who's very concerned that there's going to be more of these changes, CalPERS changes over time, because he doesn't believe that 10% number is going to go.
Well,
no,
we're talking about
RDA.
The RDA allocation formula.
Different.
Yeah.
And,
you know, more future perturbations, nevertheless.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, the RDA is different.
Yeah. Hey, I do have a question. I don't know if this is appropriate. It's agendized as an RDA impact discussion. If there is protracted legal action, what is the library's role? Because we have the city that's taking a position, and, you know, as a library board, we just, that's separate. Would the library wouldn't assume any of the cost for legal action. That would be a city cost. Yeah.
Right. And technically, it's the LFA that is the financial agent, really.
I mean, there might be a time when I know I've heard one board member say this to take a position.
Well, it becomes an advocacy issue.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, if the majority of the board wants, because it's a significant impact. And so, do we feel that this is something that we should, for the sake of the library and our role as library directors, make a public statement about?
Yeah.
Or do we feel that it's because we have conflicting positions and it's that it would just be too divisive and not worth that? And so we just, that conversation, my sense it is going to come up.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point soon here, we should have that conversation and see what the will of the majority of directors are. Instead of not addressing that question directly. Because I think that we could, as a group, maybe decide that, well, we should not, as a separate entity, get involved.
Take a position.
Yeah, take a position. Yeah.
You know, I've thought about that in terms of a lot of our assignments. I'm sure you sit on other boards as part of, as a Capitola City Council member, and you represent the city when you serve on these boards. I mean, I'm a library board member, and I'm a passionate advocate for the libraries, but at the same time, you know, I'm here, you know, representing the city. And so there is that kind of inherent conflict in this case in terms of, you know, these funding measures. And we had that discussion at the city council meeting in terms of, you know, I was advocating, you know, that the county backfill our amount that the city pays if we're going to be flowing money through the county to the library because we are paying above and beyond. But it's, you know, I would prefer that we do kind of leave this as a discussion between the county and the cities individually, to be honest, and including the correspondence in there just for informational purposes, I think is one way where we can educate the rest of the board as far as what's happening.
Okay. So I'll leave it in there.
I'll put the letter from the county, May 22nd letter, and the PERS letter as well.
Yeah.
And questions about PERS could come up discussion during the budget discussion.
Is there any other discussion on that, the RDA?
No. I'm going to go back to the budget.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The question has to do with the facilities management part of our function. We've got 10 different physical facilities, and we don't have any one person who has responsibility for understanding their state of physical affairs, their crew maintenance requirements, etc. And for a facility that's as extensive as ours are, I think that's a hole in our system. And I'm bringing it up because I'm not sure what else we ought to be thinking about that. But it just seems to me in any organization that has that many facilities, there's usually somebody that wears a hat that says, I'm the facilities manager. We don't have one.
We have 3 buildings maintenance workers, and we have asked to have them studied, and we'd like one of them to be a lead, and he pretty much functions that way now. So we're trying to establish kind of that he is more responsible than the other two. We do it right now, the 3 of them, and then our management analyst, Kira, supervises them. So technically, she is in charge of the facilities. That was one of the things we were going to transfer to the on-site services manager, who's in charge of all the branches and all the, you know, services in the branches, but it's too much for her to deal with, so we kept it with Kira. So Kira is ostensibly responsible, and she works through the building maintenance workers, one of whom is de facto much more knowledgeable, and hopefully we can make that permanent. And I think that getting through this facilities master plan, where we identify kind of the life life, what's the word I'm looking for, life cycle, that's, life cycle's not the right word, but I'll use life
useful
cycle.
Useful life.
Useful life of all the, that will give us the baseline information that we haven't had, so that we can start managing the facilities better.
So with that information, do you feel that CARA's going to have the bandwidth to be able to collect it and maintain it and act on it going forward?
I think between her and getting one of the building maintenance workers elevated to a slightly higher level, yes.
But that's a discussion that's right now taking place with personnel.
And actually, one of the other things I'm looking at doing is Laura Whaley, who's the volunteer coordinator. We're going to get the second AmeriCorps person that's built into the budget. If she can have both of those and the fact that she doesn't have to get those critical shift volunteers anymore, I'm hoping that we may be able to free up some of her time in the short term as a result of the facilities plan to maybe manage some of these, $200,000 we put into facilities. Someone's got to manage those projects that are going to happen. And I'm looking at potentially Laura's position, we've been able to maybe do that while she has the two AmeriCorps folks.
Does she have the background to do that?
She's got a really good, strong background in facilities.
Facilities?
Yeah. She's one of those types.
Well, the master plan will address the staffing needs to carry it out.
I'm hoping it will. We'll talk about, what do we need.
And the scope of
The scope that they say address, the staffing and human resource needs to carry that.
So that may indicate we need another, another position to do it as pilot.
Or we need a contract with somebody that does that to put in X amount a year to
pay for us. That's possible.
So then the question is, should there be some funding set aside to cover that, or do we want to say that the $300,000 that we just talked about is going to have enough there to get us?
I think that's sufficient. And then
we need to wait and see what it all recommends.
Okay.
Okay. Then also, if we need to, if there's personnel changes, that would come up even during the year, so we could look at some of these positions if needed. I'm curious, just because it's brought up, and I know it's getting late, but the flip side of that, where you have certain discrete projects in facilities that might be ones where the friends could help, where someone wants to sponsor a room, or to redo carpet or to repaint, what the process would be. Would that be also something that would be built into the facilities plan, or?
I'm looking, I think when they make the recommendations, we didn't specifically ask that plan to look at funding, but, I think the next step after the plan is when we start to look at the funding for it. We do need to bring in the friends, the various trust funds we have.
To identify maybe sponsorship opportunities.
Yeah.
Someone wants to rehabilitate a room, like a children's room or something. We can find opportunities to make that happen, make it easy for people to invest in the library.
I think the first thing we got to do is identify what do we need to do.
Right. Yeah. Are there any other questions on any of the staff reports? No? Okay, so moving to 6, Finance Committee. It looks like we're meeting for the June 25th meeting, 6 p.m. One thing, this is something that we might want to put out. I really feel like that there's some really good discussions in this body in terms of finances. And one of the things I'd ask, and I don't know if the other committee members want to entertain this, but to look at the scope of what this finance subcommittee does. Usually what we've been doing is looking at, the reports that come to the larger board. But in terms of the scope of what we do here, is there a role to say, hey, how we want to develop policy in terms of the reserves, or how we want to look at the spending of revenue that we have coming in to scale it, make recommendations to the board? And I'm just curious. I've asked people that were involved when this group was first established, and I don't think that was contemplated. But I'm just curious how the others feel about putting a little bit more structure so that we do know what the kind of some areas of discussion that we can enter into to help inform the board regarding our finances.
Do I put that on the agenda
for the 25th? Maybe some background on how this was set up, and if you have it, I couldn't find any.
Kind of desperation.
A lot of
it was pretty much out of Well, I came in and it had already been established, and we just kept it going.
Yeah.
It was pretty much, things were in such disarray and it was a mess. It was just another group that could look at things a little bit more closely to kind of, instead of having the big discussions at the board meeting, that have some of those discussions here and kind of be watching.
Yeah, the initial, I mean, because some of those presentations didn't even exist prior to when this committee started. And so, and part of the impetus was trying to look at the form of the presentation that it was being presented in. It was also in a much more, I'll call it complicated way that they were showing all the current year profit and loss statements. Mm-hmm. And so that was originally why this committee was formed, to look at the presentation, the form of the presentation, and how maybe to make it more both streamlined and more comprehensive at the same time. And so that's what we did for the starting out. And I think it's legitimate that for us to kind of expand maybe the scope of the recommendations that you make.
To look at substantive policy recommendations.
We are suggesting that we talk about the reserve levels, and so that will be come through here.
And I know there's been interest expressed. I've heard you express it about presenting the information differently.
Yeah.
You know, it is pretty detailed. But that was developed because it was easy to get that way, and we didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something. So it's maybe time to take the next. And I know Mark's got some ideas we can read
so
again.
Maybe like investments in technology or our facilities. I mean, where are opportunities there? I mean, looking at, you know, those are things that I think are substantive policy decisions that I would hope maybe we have an opportunity to kind of look at and maybe make some recommendations to help maybe form the board, not to close out the discussion, but maybe to direct the discussion in ways that might be helpful to the board. So that was just one item. Are there any other agenda items that people would like to see?
No, at some point, I'd like to, I think we talked maybe two meetings ago about this topic of trying to find ways to present the information in a way that makes it easier to comprehend what's going on. I think you want to think about that too. Once you
Sitting. We'll get there quickly.
Yeah.
Tracy already comes. Good idea. She's mocking it up. I think we're going to get there real fast.
Good.
I'm trying to get through some bandwidth issues right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Just trying to see his budget.
All right.
Good.
All right. Thanks.
Good night.
We have 2 days of budget hearings for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.